All right, let's welcome on a good friend from the Omaha World Herald, Sam McEwen. Good Tuesday morning. What's the weather like in Lincoln?
It rolled through about 2 hours ago.
Right.
So got a nice wake-up call at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like, it was strong, too. A lot of rain, not much else, no hail, no wind. But I think my grass grew an inch overnight. I should have mowed yesterday, and now I'm stuck, you know, for another day. So I'm smart.
It looks like here is the, it's getting lighter outside. We are getting a deluge. So good for everybody. A little bit later this morning, it'll be the final time to watch practice before the spring game. Let's start with baseball, and we hope this game can be played tonight over at Haymarket Park. Who needs it more, Creighton or Nebraska?
Oh, great question. I mean, right now both are, I think, 2 seats in the projections. You know, anytime you go below a 2 in the projections of the thing, then you're basically on the bubble. Because there aren't a ton of 3s who are at largest. There might be 5 or 6 of them. So, you know, at least, I mean, I feel like Creighton kind of knows what it's going to be and needs to do better in its league. I think Nebraska might need it a little bit more just to break the...
Mm-hmm.
You know, to break sort of the streak of where they're at. Creighton's got 2 really good games against Coastal Carolina next week. And so they have an opportunity to win 2 in their park next week against the team that's going to be at least the 2. And maybe, you know, if they have a strong finish of the season, be one of those top 16 teams. And so Creighton's got more opportunities. Nebraska doesn't have a whole bunch more from a non-conference perspective. So, you know, I think it's important for Nebraska. Important for Creighton, too. You know, Creighton has never been terrific in the Big East, and I'm not sure why. Some of the teams they play are badly overmatched in terms of resources, but they've never been – Creighton's always been, like, the second or third best team in the league, but they've rarely been the best. I mean, they're going to play a team this weekend that basically plays at a high school stadium. And, you know, I'm of the belief, and you guys can't say this, but I can't. The Big East should disband its baseball league. They should get rid of it and do away with it and move on and let whatever schools want to keep playing baseball, probably not Villanova, let them go to whatever league they want to go to. Creighton could go to the Big 12 and it could survive and it could flourish in the Big 12. As it stands right now, as compiled, Big East baseball is not. It's not all that helpful to anybody, including Creighton, which has to travel this weekend to a high school stadium in Philadelphia.
Hey, I mean, we can say that they should disband. We are not fans of Big East baseball.
No.
But it just shows you that, you know, and we're about to go into a situation with Big Ten baseball where you're going to have 4 teams way out on the West Coast, and I wonder how many curfew games will happen around the conference. I wonder if someday we go in the non-revenue-producing sports like football, men's and women's basketball, maybe volleyball. We go to more of a regional conference where Creighton and Nebraska are, you know, Creighton, Wichita State, they can all be together where they can cut down expenses in terms of travel and then also be with like-minded programs that spend money and want to be successful at baseball.
Yep.
Amen. And, you know, I think that would be a rising tide that lifted the 3 boats of the programs you just mentioned, for sure. I don't know that Wichita loves where it's at, although it's in a better league than Nebraska or Creighton. You know, I think that would be good for everybody involved. But the Big Ten might get a lot better. You never know. You know, obviously USC and UCLA, when you remove them from the Pac-12, are they going to become, you know, more powerful teams? They might. I don't know. And then, you know, Oregon's going to bring it a little bit. So, you know, you never know how things will turn out. There's really nothing stopping the Big Ten. I'll be honest with you. There's nothing stopping the Big Ten from inviting Oregon State and Washington State to the league in baseball, and just saying, you know what, we're going to go to a 20-team league. We're going to have 10 teams over here. We're going to have 10 teams over here. The teams on the West Coast never have to go to Rutgers in Maryland, and vice versa. And there's a template for it. They already do it in hockey with Notre Dame, and I can't remember MIT or
John Hopkins
someone.
Is in lacrosse.
Yep.
Bring Oregon State and Washington State into the league for baseball. Oregon State will immediately make the league better. it's a win-win for everybody. I, you know, they don't have to constrain themselves to these member schools. They're willing to do it for Notre Dame and Johns Hopkins. They should do it for baseball. And then you have a 10-team league. You have two 10-team divisions. And those teams on the West Coast, they can all play each other. You know, and if you look at that, then you're looking at 15 of their, whatever, 27 games are on the West Coast. And then they play some teams. They play, you know, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, whoever else you want to throw in. Those the fourth team. It can be Northwestern, for all I care, since Wisconsin doesn't play baseball, or Illinois. And there you go. And you don't ever have to worry about these teams going to Rutgers, which is something USC, I'm sure, doesn't want to
do. Nobody does. Sam, you mentioned the resume part of this matchup, too. I'm thinking about, now that we've reached a little bit beyond the halfway point of the college baseball season, and if you are Nebraska and you're trying to put yourself in a position to where you could be a top 16 seed, if you're Creighton and you're looking like you don't have to necessarily go to the Big East tournament and win that to get an automatic bid, the part of tonight's game based on how each team is playing, I'm still leaning towards Nebraska based on what has really been a major improvement, but it has eluded them lately, and that's on the mound, that's throwing strikes. And you remember when they won the Big Ten regular season in the COVID year, there was that three-game sweep at home against Rutgers. Now, they didn't get swept this last weekend, but they lose that series. And that was a big turning point. Is that what you need to see tonight with what this team looks like, that you can look back at that Rutgers series and say that, again, was a big turning point for this Nebraska team, basically saying this game, from a mental standpoint, seems like it might be bigger for Nebraska as well?
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska's pretty good at home. That helps them, too. Mm-hmm. I think they need to have, an effective, I don't know, I mean, I think Nebraska struggles at times with midweek games because of focus. I think Creighton wants very badly to win this series, you know, the season series. I think Nebraska's always been a little bit more lukewarm to it. Not sure why, but has been. But, you know, Nebraska will play well tonight. I think they'll pitch well on the mound. They're better at home. Nebraska struggles with the midweek road games. That's been an area of concern. They beat Wichita 1-2, lost to KU last week, played poorly at KU. People who listen to the Pick Six podcast, I kind of thought they would struggle last week. I kind of did. I thought they'd lose 3 out of 4, to be honest with you. And some of it's just the rhythm of the season. You know, I think you go out to the East Coast and you're playing a bunch of games and it's just not easy. That's part of the problem with the Big Ten, is that the teams are not very good early in the year, because they got to go 800 miles to go play a baseball game.
Yeah.
And yet later in the season, when they're playing at home in their park and it's 57 degrees or whatever, they're hard to beat. Yeah. You know, and so Rutgers got left out of the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago because basically they lost a game to UNO that they probably shouldn't have played, but they did. And Big Ten teams would be better off playing fewer games. They would be better off simply sitting weeks out during February and whatever, and just saying, yeah, we're just not going to play baseball this week. And for whatever reason, coaches feel compelled to drag their teams down to play, mid-level team that's probably going to end up going 27-30. They always go down there and play them and hope we win, and then they don't, and then everything gets, their ratings get depressed. They'd be better off just sitting at home and, swinging in a cage. From an RPI standpoint, they're just, I don't know. It's kind of a catch-22 that I think they hope USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington help solve for them, because those schools can practice more than the Big Ten school can.
Sam McCune of the World Herald joining us. So I'm watching here. There is a recruiting website that has Portal Palooza live stream going on right now. I hear coaches that say, I have a plan in the portal. There are players that are jumping into the portal. But around here, why does it feel like it's so muted, the excitement or the dread of the portal season opening?
Great question. I think it has something to do with Nebraska having a strategy that keeps a lot of guys here. They have sort of an NIL strategy that maybe can keep some guys here. It's still very early in the Matt Rhule era. So, you know, I think there's a bunch of guys that haven't necessarily written themselves off yet. I do think you're going to see some players leave in the portal. Might not leave until after the spring game. Might leave this week. You just never know. They've got a few that I think will probably, you know, see the writing on the wall and say, okay, I'm fourth string. Let's move on. But, yeah, I don't think it's been as big of a deal around here as it is in some other places. You know, spring camp's still going on, so maybe there's a, hey, I'm going to make a rally here in the back half of spring camp. But we'll see. I mean, it's what is it? It's 7:45, so we don't know yet.
Yeah.
They might have three or four names this week. You never, I'm sure they may not know who those names are yet, and we'll just have to find out. It should be interesting, that's for sure. Yeah.
So how much of, like, going shopping, because if we had this discussion before spring camp, we were all like, well, Nebraska will probably go get that veteran quarterback. How much do you think it's changed because of the spring that Danny Kalen has had?
Oh, good question. I think maybe a little bit, but simultaneously, you know, I think if the right name is in that portal and that quarterback understands what he would be coming here to do, which may not necessarily be to start, then you would consider that and give Kalen an opportunity to, or you know, give Harburg an opportunity to play a different position, give Kalen an opportunity to redshirt. I think as it stands right now, if Kalen keeps doing well in camp, he can be your backup. And Harburg can go do things for the team that aren't related to waiting to play. And so, you know, I think that would be a win-win for everybody. I'm sure they would love to have a fourth quarterback who's willing to stay and be a mentor and sort of, you know, hang around the program and, you know, come in if they had to have somebody go in and finish a drive, but they may not be able to get that done. And the challenge, guys, is that they don't really, really, really know how good these guys are going to be until they play. Like you can project it, but the reality is, you got to go play the college football game. These guys haven't played any games yet. They don't have anything on tape. And so we're going to have to wait and see how good they are. And that might take some time.
Sam, I want to go back to something you brought up about the retention of players. You hadn't seen as much exit during the first go-around of the transfer portal. And I don't know if this is exactly where you were going, but you mentioned still maybe having a plan for some of these players that otherwise you might see, think about the transfer portal. How much of it do you think, maybe even one or two guys, that they've seen guys be cross-trained, they've seen guys move from one side of the football to the other, that could keep a player here? It, again, as long as that communication is there and that plan is laid out, do you think that that is a factor?
I think it certainly can be. I think the happiness of playing with these coaches, like they like playing for them, is a factor. I think being at the University of Nebraska, where I think athletes are treated pretty darn well, could be a factor. The Alston money that you get could be a factor. And they're going to be really honest with players. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably been conversations where it's like, listen, if you want to be a three-year starter, mm-hmm. here's what you'll have to do at Nebraska. Here's what we project you as. Now, if you want to go be a three-year starter, maybe there's a place where you want to go do that, and you want to go get those reps. Now, if you want to be here and you want to be a part of a rotation, or you want to be a special teams guy because this is the culture you want to be a part of, then here's what we have offered for you. I think it's pretty structured. I'm not saying that it's like down to the last note, but I think they've got a pretty good idea of being able to explain to student-athletes, and NIL helps in this regard. Mm-hmm. Of being able to say, here's what you can expect, here's what we have to offer, and now you have to decide what it is you want to do. And there are going to be some guys that are like, yeah, I want to be a 2 or 3 year starter. And if I got to go somewhere to do that, I'll do that. And then there's going to be guys that are more comfortable with, I'll battle. I'll be a special teamer. I'd love to be a starter by the back half of my junior year or the first half of my senior year, and I'm willing to stick it out and be a part of the culture that brings it back. Different choices for different players.
Yeah.
Yeah. How comfortable do you think this staff is with the running back room, and even with some guys that are not available, but just the overall development? How comfortable are they with the running back room right now?
I think they're not quite as comfortable as they were last year. And the reason I say that is because they've got, you know, they've got some injuries that they have to work through. I think they thought Gabe Irvin was going to really get going as the season went on, you know, and he collapsed early, but there were some moments where it's like, okay, we can see where this thing's going. And then he got hurt and it didn't really go there. And so I think they were comfortable. For example, they were comfortable enough last spring to be able to say to AJ Allen, the conversation that I just sort of laid out.
Yeah.
And so AJ Allen left, and you know, he's a pretty talented guy. I'm not saying he's the best running back of all time, but he was pretty talented, and they let him walk. Now, you know, their response in the offseason was to go get a guy, because I think there's now uncertainty about, well, you know, Gabe Irvin's coming back from a hip injury, and Ramir Johnson's coming back from a shoulder. And Rule made that comment about, I had to show my staff the 2021 Michigan game, and I thought that was an interesting comment. I think they're a little less comfortable. I'm not saying they're going to go out and get a running back, but I think they wouldn't have been opposed to, you know, adding the number one running back in the transfer portal, who ended up going to Ohio State. I don't think they would have been opposed to that. They didn't do that, but I don't think they would have been opposed to it.
He mentioned, Matt Rhule did, as far as the ideal, you know, percentages of the work for the running backs. I think we at least look at Dante Dowdell as the guy that would be your lead guy. I'm curious, because there's Quentin Ives, a lot of good things been said about him. There is, when healthy, a Gabe Irvin that is always intriguing with the experience, and Ramir Johnson, as you mentioned, he brings him up. Emmett Johnson, though, is that the one that you think fits into that two role, or fits into that, what do you say, 12 to 13 carry type game?
Emmett Johnson?
Yeah.
Sure. I think he proved a few things last year. I'm sure they would love Dante Dowdell to really take it and run with it. I don't know that that'll happen. But, yeah, I think Emmett Johnson's somebody that they want to keep in the program and that they like. And now, if Ramir Johnson's healthy, does he take some of those snaps?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting to watch. And I think that's going to be – and I think we'll talk to Barthel next week. That's going to be almost a Rhule conversation, because once again, now what game did Ramir Johnson get hurt in? The second or third game, I can't remember.
Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
Northern Illinois. He didn't play much prior to that at running back. So, like, in the first game, Gabe Irvin, maybe he started, but Anthony Grant was out there a ton in the first game. And then it was Irvin. And, you know, and then in the second game, it was kind of the same thing. Grant didn't play as much because he fumbled. He may not have played at all, but Irvin played a lot. Ramir played a little bit. So then, you know, in the third game, I think Grant was back. And again, like, for whatever reason, Ramir Johnson comes off the 2021 year where I thought everybody thought he looked pretty good, and he barely run the ball since. You know, they basically keep him on the bench for 11 games or whatever in 2022 until he comes back and he helps him beat Iowa. And then the following year, you know, well, yeah, he's over here, but he's not going to play much. And now it sounds like Rhule wants to reacquaint his current coaching staff with what Johnson can do. And so this could be one of these conversations where, you know, Rhule clues back in his coaching staff of, like, you guys realize what this guy's done, right? He's done more than some of the guys that we have on the team. And we'll just have to see. Because they did not have – I mean, Ramir Johnson's entering his sixth season. He didn't have to come back. They didn't have to have him come back. I think he's there because they want him there. But if you want somebody there, then what are you going to do with him to show that you value him? These are all interesting questions that we haven't really gotten to, because they've kept the running back group for last. I think they talked very – the last next week. And, you know, anytime something isn't sunshine and roses within any college football program, they don't really want to talk about it. And I think they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with Ramir, when Gabe Irvin's going to come back healthy. Is Dowdell going to be all the way there? All the questions that, you know, again, I think they've got some depth there, but I think they want more consistency.
I agree. Sam, we'll look forward to your observations today. Always appreciate your time, my friend.
Take care.
It's Sam McEwen. Boy, it is. It is a frog strangler outside here in Omaha.
Yes, it is.
Probably got to run the ball.
So the portal is open, and I'm watching. So Ohio State has a running back that was 650-plus yards last year. Not really any notable names unless you're like diehard college football and you follow that. Jeff Sims is still in the portal.
Wow.
Wow. What if Nebraska added Jeff Sims out of the portal?
So Connor and I
know an NIL deal.
Connor and I don't want to say we were joking about it, but we had mentioned that this was about a month ago when we were just trying to, we both had realized that he had not landed anywhere yet. And so we had to go to the director to see if he was still listed as a student, to see if, even if he came back in sort of a mentor role of a guy that is very well liked, a guy that if you ever had to actually put him into play in a game, you're in a lot of trouble right now. But it's, I'm surprised. I am surprised.
So he graduated in December. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he went back home. I haven't heard anything about him. Like, no one has said, hey, I saw Jeff. There may be a team or two that realizes they need some depth in the quarterback room, yeah, and they get a hold of him, but he's still out there. Yeah. But I think Danny Kalen's development, and I still think Nebraska, it'd be nice to add a warm body to that room, but Danny Kalen's development at least hasn't made you hit the panic button and go, we got to go get a guy. We got to have a guy. We got to have a guy that's a backup. Well, your backup, and you maybe didn't think this in February, your backup might already be on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. That's not bad, because then you don't have to teach somebody new.
Right.
But I whether they add players or not, and most of the guys that Rule gets out of the portal end up being starters, and he wants them for 2 years, not just one.
Right.
I think you would be doing a disservice if you did not at least examine the portal and kick the tires on some players where you think could either add depth, or there might be an opening at a linebacker spot or somewhere where, mm-hmm, they could get on the field and play. I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you just say, oh, that's not who we are.
Yeah.
It's too late in the game. You're always looking to upgrade your roster.
Right.
But how many spots are open where you go, man, we need a major upgrade? I think running back is one spot. I don't have faith in an Ives because I haven't seen anything.
Mm-hmm.
A Ramir Johnson or a Gabe Irvin because they're injured. So now you're
especially
in,
Gabe Irvin.
Now Jack, you're into a situation where you got a shifty Emmett Johnson, and then you got a Dowdell who's still learning how to play running back.
Yeah,
I think I would dip my toe into the running back world of the portal, which can be pretty aggressive and could cost you a little bit of coin.
Yeah, the quarterback part of that conversation with the portal, I think, is it would take such a unique find for someone who understands what their role ultimately would be, and that I don't know if that's available. But I would also think if it is available, it's probably, wouldn't you think it would be this go round of the transfer portal as opposed to the fall one, where, mm-hmm, a lot of those guys are looking to find a landing, I think, a starting spot?
If you really need like a wow guy, the winter portal,
yes,
for a quarterback,
yes,
is better. This time, the quarterback around is possibly an FCS guy.
Right.
I mean, look at South Dakota State. I mean, what if a FBS team needs a quarterback? Mark Gronowski, mm-hmm, could leave. I mean, he just went through spring ball at South Dakota State,
right,
national championship quarterback. I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's not as sexy around here. Like, we're not even like excited about the portal. We're like, yeah, Nebraska's got to have some attrition, and they, yeah, will, for some guys that probably have been here for a while,
mm-hmm,
but don't have much of a shot of playing, and you help them go play somewhere else. But like other places where, you know, people are like, oh man, we got a wish list. Well, good luck. My experience with the spring portal is there's not a lot of hopes there.
Right.
Turn into reality and turn into championships, unless they're Jordan Addison.
And I'm hoping that for the most part, remains the same going in years further with Matt Rhule, because that means you feel solid with your core group. You feel solid with, for the most part, your depth. Now, hey, injuries creep up that maybe be season enders that you're not going to be ready for the fall, and that's where you have to address certain things. Depth is a big part of it. But if you feel like you've got your core in place, you've got depth around that core, maybe there's a piece here and there that it's just not a time that we're waiting for spring to get over for that cycle to begin so we can see how the roster will improve from now till summer workouts or now till fall. That's a great thing for Nebraska to be in, and I hope that that continues.
All right, addition and subtractions. We'll have subtractions. Will there be more additions than subtractions? Heck yes, there will be. Probably, I would say probably 5 to 8 will be in the portal. You may not hear all of them publicly. That's kind of how it works. BC's coming up at about 8:30. Andy Kendi will be by as well. He'll be down in Lincoln. We'll just get all kinds of observations on what's going on in Lincoln.
Will he run with the other journalist, or is he in a different category?
No, he's a vet, man. Okay. He's a smart guy.
He'll pick a spot.
He lets the youngins knock each other down, and then you just walk right in.
Yep.
Veteran teams.
They clear a path.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.